I know you can hardly wait to leap to your feet and quote all four verses you've memorized, right? I'm sorry, we don't have time. Everybody stand and let's read the two for next week. You first-timers, there's the yellow card in the front of your book. Yellow card in front of your book. We're going to let you read these, but these more mature Christians who've been here the last 2 weeks have got these four verses memorized. Now, for next week, you'll be memorizing Revelation 3:20 and John 1:12. This is in the New International, NIV. If you've memorized these verses in some other version, Living or King James or whatever, don't try to shift gears. Hang on to what you have and just use it. Okay, next week, Revelation 3:20, the title is Christ is at the Door. Out loud on the title with me, everybody. Christ is at the Door. Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Okay, we must receive him, everybody. We must receive him. John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. John 1:12. Thank you. Be seated. I've memorized these in King James, and I can hardly read them any other way. Now, we're going to be talking about witnessing this evening. And I'd like you to turn to page 25. We won't have time to cover all this in class. We've got a lot to cover tonight. I want you to get alone, just you and the Lord, the next 48 hours, and prayerfully, honestly answer the first five questions on the top half of page 25. Do you have faith in the power and sovereignty of God? Do you? Do you believe he can use you in spite of the fact you don't think you can do it? Pastor, let it be recorded. There was a slight murmur from the congregation. Do you believe the Holy Spirit will guide you? Do you believe his word is quick and powerful? Middle of the page, great big letters. Read it with me out loud, all together. The battle is not yours, but God's. Once more, the battle is not yours, but God's. If you believe that, I'll get your application. I want you to read and study all of page 25 and 26. Turn to page 26 for just a moment. Don't write on page 27. We're going to write on that later and draw the Bridge of Life illustration there. Top of page 26, you are not presenting a formula or an outline when you share Christ or a systematic plan of salvation, but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next paragraph, stress the love of God. Keep it simple. Look down at the very bottom of page 26, please. Bottom of page 26. In the final analysis, it is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human logic that we need for salvation. Now, I gave you, let's talk about witnessing in general first. You can take notes on, let's see what page you have here, just a minute here. Got a blank page on page 28. If you want to take a note or two, get out a pen or a pencil. In the first place, I'll put this on the screen. A lot of you can't see it, so I'll read it to you. Witnessing is not mechanical. It is not mechanical. If it were, we'd pass out the formula and everybody would be saved. It doesn't work that way. And then experiences do differ. It says Paul here, actually his name was Saul at that time. Saul met Christ on a dusty road on the way to Damascus. He met Christ like a bolt of lightning. He was struck blind. But Timothy had grown up in a home where his mother and grandmother were godly women. They were women of the word. They were women of prayer. Completely different set of circumstances. If I were to ask you, can you remember the day, the hour, the moment that you found Christ as Savior, assuming just a moment that you have, about 75 or 80% say, Jack, I know exactly when it was. And a lot of the rest of us, we're not sure exactly when, but somewhere along the way, we trusted Christ. If you're not sure in your heart of hearts at this moment where you're going to spend eternity, if you're not sure that you're part of God's forever family, you can be sure before you leave this building. I'm not going to give an invitation. I'm not going to ask that you stand up, raise your hand, shake your head, or come forward. But I promise you, on the authority of God's word, you can be sure. It's not important that you remember the day, but what is most important is where do you stand tonight? 2 Timothy 1:12, the Bible said, I know, the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He did not say, I know what I've believed. It's in the person of Christ. And then witnessing situations differ. You may be in somebody's home or your home and have all the time you need. Or you may be in an airplane or an airport and only have a few minutes. Witnessing situations differ. Get out your little book called Steps to Peace with God. It looks like this. Got a beautiful picture on the front of it. This little book was originally written just so you could read it to somebody. A fellow came out to my home church in Oklahoma City back in the 50s and taught a little course on a little book very similar to this. I took the course Tuesday and Thursday night. I'd been a Christian for a number of years and had never led one single person down to a saving knowledge of Christ, down to a point of decision. I'd tried to share my faith several times. A salesman would say I did not get the name on the signature which is dotted. I didn't know how to close. I took the course. Sunday afternoon, we were supposed to go out and knock on doors, someone we'd never seen before, and just read it to them. Charlie Holt, a businessman, a friend of mine, we're still friends. In fact, I went on a vacation with him recently. He said, let's go together. I said, fine. So we were parked in front of this house. We'd been given an address and a name. And we decided to have a prayer meeting in the car, and I thought that was a good idea. I don't know what Charlie was praying about. What I was praying about is no one be home. As I got out of the car, I was still trying to postpone this ordeal. I said, Holt, let's take turnabout. He breathed a big sigh of relief, said, good, you go first. And I was scared. My knees were knocking. I rung the doorbell or knocked on the door, and a lady came to the door. And dressed in her bathrobe, I'm guessing about 60 years old. I sure didn't tell her that. And we told her who we were, where we'd come from, and why we were there. And I'd memorized this question. It might be a good question for you to memorize. I said, ma'am, have you ever made the wonderful discovery of knowing Christ as your Savior? I'll never forget her answer as long as I live. She said, no, I haven't. But I wondered for years how I could do that. I'll bet somebody had been praying for her for 20 years. Now, we had to pass two or three churches to find her house. There were four radio stations and three television stations in my hometown that give the gospel real regularly. But there are folks, I found out that day, that there are folks that live near you, your relatives, your neighbors, folks you work with, may go to school with. As far as they know, they don't know how to get saved. They don't go to church. They don't listen to Billy Graham. They don't know how to get saved. An evangelist in California who spent most of his life in evangelism said, Jack, that's the reason most folks in the United States and Canada, that's the reason they go to hell, because they don't know how to get saved. I quoted him on that. I said, ma'am, would you please just... She said, I can't ask you in. I'm not dressed properly and I've been sick. I said, would you please read this little book with me and I'll read one with you. And I shoved her through the door. About 15 minutes later, tears streaming down her face, she asked Christ to come in and be her Savior. And I found out something that day. Romans 1:16, if you can see the screen, read it with me, please. Everybody, out loud. For I am not ashamed. Now I want you to remember this as long as you breathe on this planet. According to the Bible, according to Romans 1:16, what is the power of God in salvation? Everybody. The gospel. It's not the messenger boy or the messenger girl. Aren't you proud of that? It's the gospel. And whether you hear it from a godly pastor in a church like this, or on television, or on the radio, or across a cup of coffee in a restaurant, the power is in the gospel. The Holy Spirit makes Christ real. Everything you need to know to find Christ as Savior is in this little book, if the Holy Spirit is at work. If the Holy Spirit is not at work, nothing will happen. Amen? I'm going to ask that you turn to page 32 in your course book. Your homework's on page 31 and 32. Page 32, part of your homework, project, pray for one or two people this week with whom you might share steps to peace with God. Did you notice how quiet it got in here? Woo! Oh, I know what you're thinking. He doesn't really mean that. Yes, I do. Look down about an inch or two below that. Before you share, appeal to their intellect by saying, I would like to, please read the next three words out loud with me all together. Get your reaction. Once more. Get your reaction. Suppose your sister is lost and you want to share the gospel. Say, sis, I'm taking a course. Don't tell them it's at a church. Don't tell her it's a gospel tract. I'm taking a course. Part of my homework is to share this little book with someone and get their reaction. Sis, could I share this with you and get your reaction as part of my homework? She would love to give you her reaction. You're making her a center stage. You're making her very important. And I'll tell you when to draw the net. Now, just to really convince you on that, I'm really serious about this. In Los Angeles, we covered 50 miles in from the ocean and 100 miles back and forth, and had over 24,000 in our classes, for counseling classes. And I went out and taught the classes, came back for the crusade the last three or four nights. The last night, we had over 80,000 there, and almost everyone had left. I was down under the speaker's platform. And a fellow came up to me with red hair and a red beard, a flaming red beard, and said, Jack, you don't remember me, do you? I said, sir, I remember that red beard. You hardly ever see anyone with a red beard nowadays. And he said, you gave me a little book called Steps to Peace and asked me to share it. I said, I sure did. He said, I'd never done anything like that. But on the way home that night, driving down the road by myself, I promised God in my heart I would do that. And then the question, who am I going to share it with? And somehow, the Lord let him know that he should share it with his mother. Now, that's tougher than nails, right? He said, I did exactly what you said, Jack. I said, can I get your reaction, Mom? And about halfway through it, she started crying and said, son, I needed to do this for years. And he had the wonderful, unique opportunity of leading his mother to Christ. And that thrilled my heart. And I saw a Billy Graham team member about as far away from here at that door. And I yelled at him and said, hey, come here, I want you to hear this. And he grabbed my arm real hard. He said, just a minute. He said, you haven't heard the rest of the story. I said, please forgive me. I apologize. Please tell me the rest of the story. He said, 7 days later, my mother died of a massive heart attack in her 40s. Aren't you glad he shared it? In Washington, D.C., I had a class down in Annapolis, about 50 miles, but an hour and a half in traffic. Third session tonight, two ladies came up to me at the break, said, we're having the most wonderful time. God has blessed us so much here, but we're not going to be counselors. I said, hey. I said, we only want the counselors that God wants. We're going to give you an application tonight. You're going to fill it out and bring it back. Pray about it. Incidentally, I'm not going to ask you to pray about it. You just turn in your application. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. He didn't say, go pray about it. Of course, they became counselors. Well, I saw them the last night. And they hugged my neck. I said, Jack, it's been the most wonderful thing in our lives. We've canceled every single night. It was an eight-night crusade. 50 miles in traffic, 50 miles back in traffic. Every single one of them said, hey, I canceled a whole family, a man and wife and five kids who were short of counselors that night. God forbid, I don't want that to happen here. And they said, you haven't heard the best. I said, tell me the best. They said, well, you know the street out here crossing over to the convention hall is convention center is dangerous. I said, tell me about it. I almost got run over tonight. He said, a policeman's been helping us across the street before the session, before the preaching, and helping us across after. And I said to this policeman, you won't have to help us across the street, but two more nights, the crusade will be over. And he was kind of gruff. He said, I won't have to help you at all. I'm off the next two nights. This dear woman said, I wonder if he knows Jesus in her mind. And she said, sir, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? He said, I don't have a clue. She didn't have a Steps to Peace with God. But she had a Living in Christ that I'd given her 3 months before in her purse. Dog-eared, marked up. It's got steps to Peace in it, all diagrammed out. Those two dear ladies working together spent 40 minutes with that policeman under a street light and led him to Christ. Because the power is in the gospel. Amen? All right, we're going to mark this up tonight. And I'm going to ask that you share with someone. If you don't find someone this week, don't give up. Just keep praying that God will give you someone to share it with. And come on back. I'm going to ask that you mark it up. Get a pen or a pencil out. And I would suggest you mark it up when you share it with somebody this week. Step one, great big letters. I'm going to ask that you read part of this with me. Great big letters at the top of the page, all together. God's purpose, peace, and life. Once more, God's purpose, peace and life. I'll counsel a fellow named Ralph tonight. I'd say, Ralph, God loves you, and he wants you to experience his peace and his life, abundant and eternal. Now, how do I know how to say that? I read it right here. That's what you'll do. Circle abundant and eternal. You might point out to Ralph, eternal life has a quantity and it has a quality. Let him read Romans 5:1, underline the word peace, underline through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ralph, according to this Bible verse here, where do you find peace with God? What should he tell me? It's through Christ. Let's have some fun with John 3:16. For God so loved the world, please cross out the word world. Some of you aren't writing, I'll take your name out of the drawing. Please cross out the word world and put your first name right above there. Susie or John or whatever your first name is. For God so loved Ralph that he gave his only begotten son. Please cross out the word whosoever. Put your first name in there. That if Ralph believes in him, now you need a little bitty arrow pointed down between the word him and should. If Ralph believes in him, Ralph should not perish. One more time, another little arrow pointed down. But Ralph will have everlasting life. Four times. It's biblical. It's true. It makes it very personal. In, Indianapolis, several years ago, I was talking to the pastors after this class is over, and a young man about 40 years old, everyone's young to me now, he came up and said, Jack, I'm Ralph. Suck his hand out. I shook it. I said, good to know you, Ralph. I'm Jack. Oh, he said, you don't understand. I said, sir, I understood you perfectly. You told me your name was Ralph. No, that's not what I mean. I got saved when someone put my name in John 3:16, local pastor. He said, I know it works. Now, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, bottom of the page, and that they may have it more miserably. Circle the word abundantly and point that out to Ralph. Ralph, since God, you know, God wants you to have this abundant life and his peace, but you and I both know that a lot of people are not having this experience. Let me ask you, folks, is it automatic? No. You might jot down there on the right page, you're not automatic, and go over that with Ralph. It's not automatic. God wants you to have his peace. He wants you to have the abundant life. Turn the page, please. Big letters, all together. Our problem, separation. Thank you for you 37 people. Now, all the rest of you, all together. Amen. Ralph, God created us in his own image to have an abundant life. He did not make us as robots, circle or underline word robots. You know, Ralph, God could have done that. He could have made us all as robots. Then whenever he punched the heavenly computer, we'd be programmed to kneel and worship him. He chose not to do that. Underline the word will. Please underline freedom of choice. Ralph, God gave you a will of your own. He gave you the freedom to choose. Read the next two lines with me out loud all together. We chose to disobey God. Romans 3:23, you've memorized. You won't have a problem here. I've never talked to a man in my life that did not know that he was a sinner. I talked to one woman, but that's another story. Now, Romans 6:23 is a great little verse. You need to spend some time on this. Please underline the word death. You may point out to Ralph that there's two kinds of death, physical death, spiritual death. Physical death is the separation of the part of you and the part of me that's walking around here this evening and the part of you that's going to live or exist forever somewhere. Spiritual death, that's what this is talking about, is the separation of the part of you and the part of me that's going to live or exist forever somewhere in God. Please underline, gift of God. This is a wonderful witnessing tool. You can ask anyone, say, Joe, have you ever received the gift of God? What are you talking about? Wonderful place. Gift of God. What is the gift of God? Eternal life. Underline, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ralph, where do you get that according to this Bible verse? Well, Jack, it's in Christ. Now, on the right, you see people on one side of a chasm and God on the other. Our choice results in separation from God. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here, and you can jot them down in a white space. You can either tell the story, that's what I like to do, or you can open up Genesis and read it. Genesis, you can abbreviate that G-E-N, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Ralph, God created a man. God named him Adam. He put him in a wonderful garden. It was a paradise. And Adam had every single thing he could want or desire or think of except one. Then God took care of that. What was her name? Eve. Get the picture. The Bible says that God took a rib out of Adam and created Eve, right? Okay, Adam is coming out from underneath the anesthetic, right? He goes walking through the garden and he sees Eve for the first time clad in her birthday glory. What do you think Adam said? Wow! And they had it made, didn't they? But the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 5, 6, and 7 along in there, 5 and 6 particularly, they blew it. They sinned, they rebelled, they disobeyed God, and ever since then, Ralph, we've been separated from God by our sins. I like to write the word sin in the middle with the I and the N underneath the S there, because we're going to cover it up with a cross in a little bit. But Romans 6:23 is a great verse. You know, over in Luke, Jesus tells about a man that had 100 sheep. How many were lost? Incidentally, how long did he search for that sheep? Till he found it. Well, was the sheep evil? Sinful? No. Just stupid. Just wandered off. Foolishness. Do you know folks can be lost by not being wise? That's better than saying stupid, isn't it? Just foolishness. A few verses on down, Jesus told about a lady who had 10 coins. How many were lost? Well, a coin can't be evil, Jack. No, that's true. This coin was lost by carelessness. And a few verses on down, a man had 2 sons. How many went wrong? 1. Now, he finally came back to the Father, didn't he? But he was lost by choice. A person can be lost by foolishness. A person can be lost by carelessness. A person can be lost by choice. Our choice results in separation from God. Turn the page, please. Ralph, through the ages, we've tried to bridge the gap to God in a lot of different ways without success. Here are 4 of them. Good works. In Albuquerque, visiting with a man about his relationship to Christ, he said, Jack, I know what's going to happen when I stand before the judgment seat of God. I said, that's interesting. Tell me, what do you think will happen? Well, he said, they got a big scale up there, and God put all the bad things I did on one side of the scale and all the good things on the other, and weigh me out. That's the devil's lie. It's not going to happen. Religion in Boulder, Colorado, one night, small class, about 250, man raised his hand. And I said, sir, do you have a question? And he stood up. He's kind of loud and belligerent. He scared me. He said, no, I don't have a question. What's wrong with religion? I thought, good night. Here I am working for Billy Graham as a volunteer, and I'm arguing about religion. I said, sir, I don't have any pat answers, but the first man that came to my mind was a man named Nicodemus. Remember Nick, 3rd chapter of John? I've never known anyone as religious as Nicodemus, folks. He had memorized the 637 laws of Moses. In fact, he was a teacher of them. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest and holiest body of ruling Jews. He fasted 2 days a week. He prayed 3 times a day. He gave tithes and offerings on top of that. Brother, he was religious. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you'll never see the kingdom of God unless you're born from above. Amen? Religion won't get it. Philosophy, jot down Colossians. You can abbreviate that C-O-L. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Turn to it in your Bible and let Ralph read that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, beware of the vainness and the deceit of philosophy. That won't bridge the gap. I'd like to give you my father's testimony on morality. We don't have time. My dad was not saved till he was 67 years old. I thought he was too mean to get saved, but he wasn't. But before he got saved, I've never known a man more honest or had more integrity than my dad, even before he got saved. Morality won't bridge the gap. On the left, Proverbs 14:12. Read it with me. There is a way right to man, but in the end it leads to death. In Isaiah 59:2, the Bible says, my sins, my iniquities have separated me from God, and my sins have hidden his face from me. There's only one remedy, Ralph, for this problem of separation. Turn the page. Step 3. Big letters. Read it with me. God's remedy, the cross. Once more. God's remedy, the cross. Now read the next 3 lines with me, please. All together. Jesus Christ is the only answer. Underline the word only and jot down Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus, Acts 4:12 tells us that our sins are blotted out. There's only one way. Acts 4:12, there is no way to heaven except through Jesus. That's what that says. Neither is there any way to heaven except through Christ. Another good verse on that is John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Acts 4:12 starts out, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. Now, 1 Timothy 2:5 is a great little verse, and you need to know where it is and how to use it. Read it with me, just like it is in the book. God is on one side. Now, you're not asking Ralph to believe something that's not credible. The work of Christ is a fact. His virgin birth is a fact. His life is a fact. His death on the cross is a fact. His tomb is a fact. And his resurrection are verifiable historical facts. That's why theologians call it the facts of the gospel. 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says that Christ suffered for our sins to bring us to God. Romans 5:8, you've memorized. Read it with me. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, on the right, point out to Ralph that the cross of Christ now bridges the gap from sinful people to a holy God. God has provided the only way. We must make the choice. Jot down 2 Corinthians 5:21 there. You can abbreviate that C-O-R. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, Christ was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We trade our sin for Christ's righteousness. Partner of mine named Ford Madison. We invested in real estate together for about 17 years. In fact, two or three businesses we were together. Lived in Dallas, Texas. Spent 5 years on the mission field as a lay missionary before that. He had a Bible study in his office every Thursday morning. And one day, one of the fellows in his Bible study brought along a guest, a 93-year-old man. This man had been in the real estate business in Dallas for about 50 years. His wife had died recently. And they were talking about various trades and deals that they made, and Ford said, sir, would you like for me to tell you about the best trade that I ever made? And someone was there said, Jack, the old man's eyes kind of sparkled, 93 years old. He said, Ford, I know you by reputation. I know you to be a master negotiator. I know you to be a man of integrity. If it's the best deal you ever made, I'd sure like to hear that story. He said, sir, the best trade that I ever made is when I traded my sins for Christ's righteousness. Have you ever made that trade? The old man said, no, I haven't, Ford. And he had the wonderful privilege of leading him to Jesus. 93 years old. Turn the page. Step 4, big letters, read it with me. Our response, receive Christ. Once more, our response, receive Christ. Underline, trust Jesus Christ. Underline, receive him. Ralph, this is a very personal thing. I can't do it for you. It's a very personal thing between you and God. You've got to invite Christ to come into your heart and life. And let him be your Lord and Savior. Revelation 3:20 is a great verse, and I love it because it works. Read it with me like it is in the book, all together. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. In John 1:12, let Ralph read that verse, but underline, please, received him. Underline, children of God. Ralph, this verse you just read. If you receive Christ as Savior, what do you become? What should you tell me? A child of God. Romans tells us we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between receiving and believing the way we use the terms today. I'll give you a couple examples. About four or five years ago, Billy had a deal in Amsterdam and brought in 8,000 itinerant evangelists, worked 2 years setting it up and working on it, preparing for it, from all over the world, 8,000 itinerant evangelists, and trained them for about 10 days. And I had an airplane ticket reserved and reservation in a hotel over there. My wife and I were going over to help. About 3 weeks before we were to leave, I fell on concrete and hurt my elbow, left elbow. Now, I knew I hurt my elbow, but I did not know the skin was broken. You can't see your elbow without a mirror, right? Try it. About 4.5 or 5 days later, I landed in the hospital with 104.5 fever, with blood poisoning, about 3 times normal size, red streaks and all that good stuff. And I did not know really how bad off I was. But I found out later that they thought they could save my life, but I had less than a 50-50 chance of saving his left arm. First day, a doctor came in that I know and trust. He said, Jack, we're going to give you massive doses of miracle drugs to bring that swelling down and bring the fever down and then that infection down. They tried two or three, but finally decided on penicillin, plain old penicillin. In 21 days, they gave me 228 million units of penicillin. I think they ran out. That's why I got to go home. But the first day he came in and told me that, I didn't say this, but I could have said, Doctor, I'm not going to take it. You know what he would have said? What's the matter? Are you crazy or something? Don't you think this is a good hospital? It's a $40 million hospital. I know it's a good hospital. Well, don't you think I'm a good doctor? I got more degrees than a thermometer. I'm a good doctor. I've heard nothing but good about you, Doc. Hey, read the bottle, you idiot. It says penicillin. I could have believed in the medicine. I could have believed in the doctor. And I could have believed in the hospital. But unless I made a commitment, I'd have died in about 4 days. What we're talking about here is a commitment. This is not easy believism. I'll give you another example. I was down in Fort Lauderdale several years ago, about 10 years ago or so. And I said, in my briefcase is a Delta airline ticket after my last class. My wife, Bonnie, and I are going to fly back to Oklahoma City. I'm a pilot. I could go out and look over that airplane, 727. I would guess it cost about $12 million. I could interview the pilot. Command pilot always sits in the left seat, right? And found out that he had 4,000 hours left seat experience. I could look at the safety record and find out that Delta had not killed a passenger in 10 years. I said, I could believe in the safety record. I could believe in the pilot's expertise and experience, and I could believe in the airplane. But unless I made a commitment and got on that airplane, I'd still be in Florida when it landed in Oklahoma City, right? At the end of that class, a young man came up to me, a handsome young man, said, Jack, I work for Delta. I said, uh-huh, what do you do? He said, I'm a pilot. I said, left seat? He said, left seat. He said, you're wrong about my experience. I have over 10,000 hours left seat experience. By the way, Jack, you're wrong about the airplane, too. That cost $17 million. Jack, you're wrong about the safety record. At that time, Delta had never had one single passenger fatality. I think they've had two crashes since then. One was due to weather in Dallas. But it's a great airline. But there's a difference between receiving and believing. A matter of commitment is here. Now, down in Romans 10:9, read that with me. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, turn the page. Pay real close attention now. Here comes the invitation. Top of the page. You say, Ralph, read this right here. You say that, but you hold it in your hand and you read it. Ralph, is there any good reason why you cannot ask Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior right now? There are no good reasons. A lot of excuses. Our church in Oklahoma City has an international day. And we also have a program there to teach English to international students and their wives. And they ask us to invite folks, international students, to be our guest for Sunday lunch. Take them home, and feed them a good American meal. And I said, I'll take four of them. Well, I only got one. There were more people that wanted them than there were students. Great, big, handsome fellow, about 6'3", from Panama, named Armando Paz, P-A-Z. And Armando's pretty sharp. There were over 1,000 that took a test down there. And they picked out the top 10, and he was one of them. And he got a scholarship called a Fulbright scholarship that paid all of his expenses for 2 years on a master's degree. And I said, are you married, Armando? And he said, yes. We were walking out the car. I said, is your wife in Panama? He said, no, she's here. So we went by an apartment, picked up his wife called Maria, and a son about 5 or 6 years old. And Maria, boy, she was a beautiful woman, and is. And we took them out to our house. They said, do not give them the gospel the first day. So I was obedient. They were about 2 hours there, and we took them home. And on the way home, we said, Jack, do you know where I could buy some low-priced blankets? They'd never had a blanket in Panama, didn't need one. And I said, I think I can handle that. We'd had a death in our family, and I gave them a blanket with dual controls. He'd never heard of an electric blanket. And then I gave some blankets for his son. Then we took him to a football game later. And we took them out to eat later. Some Chinese food. Then again on some Italian food. And then we invited him for Thanksgiving to have a meal in our home. And then I was praying about it. I said, Lord, I'm tired of being friendly. I want to give him the gospel. Thanksgiving Day would be a wonderful day for it, Lord. Well, we had about 25, which is our normal Thanksgiving meal. We have four kids alive now and 13 grandkids, and they've all got friends. And so everyone had left except I was at the end of the table, and Armando was on my right, Maria's on my left, and they'd gone to watch a football game. They'd hurried away from the meal. And I was wondering, I said, Lord, how am I going to get into this? She only knows about 50% English, and he's about 85 or 90% English. And that's my thought was like, and all of a sudden, Maria said, Jack, I said, you're a Christian. I said, yes, I am. May I ask you a question? I said, well, of course. This was her question. Jack, what happens to me when I die? I breathed a sigh of relief and thanking the Lord silently, and I said, I've got a little book called Steps to Peace with God that may answer your question. May I go over it with you? Certainly. So I gave one to Armando and one to Maria, and he helped us interpret as an interpreter. Got down to about here, and I said, Maria, is there any reason why you cannot ask Christ to be your Savior right now? Jack, what do I have to do? I said, we've got it written out for you right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, and went over with her. Admit your need. Be willing to turn from your sins. Believe that Christ died for you on the cross. We've talked about that in the scriptures on that. And by prayer, invite Christ. Just talk to God in prayer. Invite Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. And I said, Maria, went over that with her. I said, read this prayer over here, would you please? And see if you can pray this prayer from your heart and mean it. And that took some interpretation. It's from your heart business. Maria and Armando talk back and forth in Spanish. Big old smile. She said, I can, Jack. I said, hold everything. Armando, turn my page back. Everyone that's ever been born is on one side or the other. Which side are you on this morning? What side are you on today, Armando? He said, Jack, he said, I'm on the wrong side too. I had the wonderful privilege of leading both to Christ that day. That was 2 years ago. Armando's going back to Panama the 16th of April. Got a call. He called my secretary. My secretary called me. My son's secretary, really. And he said, Jack, the day before I go back to Panama, can I get 5 tickets from you for the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast? We have about 800 at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast in Oklahoma City. Have someone fly in and give the gospel. And he's gotten 4 men he wants to bring to that prayer breakfast. He's a disciple maker already. I gave him, I bought 2 Jesus films in Spanish. I'm sending them back with him, and a box of tracts about that big in Spanish. He's going back as a non-paid missionary. He's been discipled for 2 years by a doctor friend of mine, and I've helped out some on that. Now, it may be that Christ is only a prayer away for you this evening. And you've come to the cross this moment, and you're not sure which side you're on. Or maybe you know that you're on the wrong side, like the waitress friend of mine. Jack, you don't know how bad things are in my life. No, I really don't. I know how good they can be if you let Christ run the show. I'm experiencing that, and I have experienced it. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, any woman enters in, they will be saved. Have you ever entered that door? You can tonight. On God's timetable, this may be your moment of destiny. I want everyone to stand, please. I'm going to ask that you pray this with me out loud. You'll have to read it because you don't have it memorized. I don't either. But it's a good prayer. And I just pray that you can pray this from your heart and mean it. All together out loud. Pray it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. Now I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust you in Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn the page, and the next page, about the middle of the page, says, did you sincerely ask Christ to come into your life? Armando, Maria, did you mean what you prayed? All I could see was teeth, great big smile. I sure did, Jack. Thank you. Be seated. Right after that, on the next page, it says, where is he right now? Now, you ask that, and you might get any one of 9 different answers on where Christ is right now. A friend of mine named Don Tabb was with the Billy Graham team for about 5 years, about 20 years ago. They had a crusade down in Louisiana, and they just kept him there. And he started preaching in the law building of the LSU campus. Had about 15 families. He just thought that's where God wanted him. And he stayed there and started a church, and they gave him the state of Louisiana gave him 3 acres on the campus to build a church. Turned out in the state constitution from the time the state was formed, so much of that campus could be used for that. And he preaches to over 1,000 every Sunday morning now. But he was walking down the streets of Chicago years ago when he was with Billy Graham to speak at a church, bad part of town, and a bum hit him up for some money, a panhandler. And he said, "What do you want the money for?" Well, he said, "I want some food. I'm hungry." Don thought he wanted for booze. He said, "There's a restaurant. I've got time. I will feed you." And he took him in there. The fellow's name was Herb, and he looked bad. He was bad shape as far as dress is concerned. And he fed him. Sure enough, he was hungry. He ate about 2 or 3 meals. And while he ate this enormous meal, Don gave him the gospel. And the best that Herb knew how, he asked Christ to come in and be his Savior. Got out on the sidewalk and said, "Herb, now where is he right now?" And he said, "Don, he's in heaven." Let's go back to Revelation 3:20. Herb, and read that again. Where Christ says, "I will come in to you." And read it again. Said, "Now, Herb, where is Christ?" Said, "Don, he's everywhere." Let's go back to Revelation 3:20, Herb, and read it again. About 4 or 5 times he said, "Don, if you'll just tell me what you want me to say, I will say it." Finally got the picture, though. Let me give you a couple of scriptures on that, and let Ralph read these. Colossians, you can abbreviate that C-O-L, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, "Christ is in you, the hope of glory." Then jot down Ephesians. You can abbreviate that E-P-H. E-P-H. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians 3:17. The Bible says, "Christ dwells in your heart by faith." And point that out to Ralph or Armando, that Christ has entered their life. Now, right below that is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Find that. Underline the word grace. Underline the word faith. Underline the word gift. Please underline "not by works." 4 biblical truths in that one little passage of 2 verses. On the right is 1 John 5:12 and 13. "These things have I written unto you," old John said, "who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may wish that you have eternal life." I'm sorry, I missed that there. Just hold everything. Just a minute. "These things I've written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may hope that you have eternal life." What does it say? Circle that word "no." We need to be no-so Christians. Talk about assurance in a few minutes. Receiving Christ, we're born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. This is what we call the new birth. Very back of the book are 5 things that Billy Graham will go over with everyone who comes forward. He'll spend about, 6 to 10 minutes there. He'll go over these things and have a prayer with them. Read your Bible every day. Talk to God in prayer. Tell others about Christ. Get in some warm local fellowship, gospel preaching church, so that you can grow in Christ and represent Christ in a needy world. Now, it may be that you'll be caught out without one of those. You don't have one. So if you'll turn to page 27, we'll draw the Bridge of Life illustration here. You can keep your little steps to peace so that you can look at that. Top of page 27, 4 words across the top. Facts, invite, pray, and assure. Find it. Under facts, you can jot down Romans 1:16. The facts of the gospel. Romans 1:16. The power of God and salvation is the gospel. Under invite, I have 2 scripture references here. Acts 3:19, and put down a letter R. And John 1:12, and another letter R. Billy Graham's invitation will be twofold. Number 1, repent, meaning turn away from your sins. And number 2, receive Christ. And that's what your pastor, that's the invitation he has when he invites folks to receive Christ. Acts 3:19, John 1:12, repent and receive Christ. Under pray, you can jot down Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved." Now notice here, I've got a line between the word pray and assurance. In a crusade situation, the evangelist has done 3/4 of all of our work for us. He's given the gospel, facts of the gospel. He's given an invitation. He's led the inquirers in a prayer of commitment when they come forward. Our job as a counselor is very simple. We give assurance and we confirm the decision. Those 2 things, they go together. We give assurance and we confirm the decision. Under assurance, I've got several verses here. John 3:16 is a great verse on assurance. John 3:16 is a wonderful verse on assurance. And then Romans 10:9 and 10. See if I can find it here. Yes, here it is. Put it on the screen. Romans 10, 9 and 10. For years after I was saved, you don't feel bad, right? And that's what I was basing my assurance on, because I was not in the Word of God. For the first time in my life, I had assurance of my salvation based on the Word of God. And you need to base your assurance not on your conduct, not on your feelings, but on the Word of God and those you counsel on the Word of God. I'll tell you what, folks. The more you read the Bible, the more you hear it preached, the more you study it, the more you memorize portions of it, the more you meditate on it, if you're willing to be obedient to the Word of God and obedient to the Holy Spirit, and you grow in Christ, your assurance just keeps increasing. I'm more sure of that than anything on this planet. But I'm basing my assurance on the Word of God. Jesus said, my word will never perish. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never perish. All right. Now, give you one or two more here on assurance. 1 John 5, 11 and 13 is a great verse on assurance. 1 John 5, 11 and 13 is in the back of your book there. A little steps to peace with God. Give you one more. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. In our prayer meeting tonight, before the class, someone prayed part of this verse. Jesus said, I give them eternal. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never what? Perish. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. First he said, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's what Christ said. Now, all right. Drop down about 2 or 3 inches, please, below that, if you will, please. And jot down God's plan, peace, and life. Let's piece of paper here. God's plan, peace, and life. We'll draw the Bridge of Life illustration. Now, you don't need a Steps to Peace. If you have a Bible, a New Testament, and you don't need to memorize these verses, I would suggest when you get home the next day or two, next night or two, draw the Bridge of Life illustration now, but take that and your Steps to Peace and put that Bridge of Life illustration in the flyleaf of your Bible. Then every time you have that Bible with you, you've got it made. Just open it up and let Ralph read the scriptures from the Bible. That's a lot more effective than you quoting them to them. God's plan, peace and life in three scriptures, Romans 5, 1, John 3, 16, John 10, 10. And I would suggest you open up the Bible and let Ralph read those. Right below that, you can jot down our problem, separation. Point out to Ralph, we're separated from God. You might tell the story of Genesis. Genesis 2, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Romans 3, 23, we've all memorized that. No problem there. Everybody knows they're sinners. Two kinds of sinners, folks. Lost sinners and saved sinners. Amen? Romans 6, 23. In your little book, Proverbs 14, 12. Isaiah 59, 2. Right out of your little book. If you put this in the flyleaf of your Bible, you can share your faith down to a point of decision. Now down at the bottom, you can put people on one side and God on the other. Well, people, it's already written in your book, people and God. I like to write the word sin in the middle with the I and the N underneath the S, because we're going to cover it with a cross. The cross of Christ does cover my sin. Okay, step three, God's remedy of the cross. And draw the cross in. See if I can find a cross here. Okay, here we are. Cross of Christ covers my sin and bridges the gap from a sinful man to a holy God. And on the third step, God has remedied the cross. You put out Romans 5, 8. You've memorized Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Open up your New Testament, your Bible, and let Ralph read those. Take time to let him read them. And finally, our response, receive Christ. Revelation 3:20. John 1:12. You know, you can share these scriptures with somebody, and you may use 50 scriptures and be there for 30 minutes and still not know where they stand. You're not sure if he got saved when he was 9 years old at that tent revival or not. You don't know where they stand, and they might not know where they stand. Here's a good way to find out. Most people know in their hearts where they stand. All right, you're talking to your sister, and you say, "Sis, everybody that's ever been born, the Bible teaches on one side or the other. Draw a vertical line, please, right down to the cross, and say, sis, where would you say you are right now?" And hand her the pen. They won't lie, folks. In Chicago, man put his X right here. That's where I am. Just as close as he could get, but on the wrong side. One time this did not work, I'll tell you about it. Little town down in Texas, Tyler, Texas. It wasn't a bit of Graham crusade, but we were having a crusade down there. And a prayer partner of mine, another real estate man in the real estate investment business named Charlie Featherston, was training a young man college age to draw and present the Bridge of Life illustration. And the young man had done a pretty good job down to here. He's talking to a great, big, barrel-chested, tough-talking Texas rancher. They're a breed all of their own, folks. And he said, "Sir, where would you say you are right now?" And he handed him the pen. And the rancher looked over and said, "I'm right straddle that fence. That's where I am." And the young man turned to my prayer partner, Charlie, and said, "Featherston, what do I tell him now?" Now, what you tell him now, if I can find it here, John, give him John 3:36. I think I've got a slide on here. Yeah. John 3:36, the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son has," that's possession, not just profession, but possession, "has everlasting life." Read it with me if you can see the screen, all together. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Another good scripture on that is 1 John 5:11-13. "He that has the Son of God has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life." That's a good way to find out where they stand. Just draw a vertical line right down to the cross, say, "Which side are you on tonight?" And almost without exception, they'll tell you the truth. That's not difficult, and you can do it. Just pray that God will bring you someone along that wants to know Christ as Savior. Someone has been praying for him for a long time, and the harvest may be ready. Any question on that? All right. I'm going to put on the screen here the instructions for you for your offering tonight. Please do not put your attendance slip in the envelope. Turn to the back of the book right now and fill out class slip number 3. I should have had you do that before now, but I'm slipped up on that. Back slip, back of the book, attendance slip number 3. Fill that out, please. And I want you to pass two things down to the nearest aisle: your attendance slip and your offering envelope. Now, for you first-timers, I don't get any of this offering, and neither does Billy Graham. Since 1951, 41 years ago, he has not gotten a single dollar from a local crusade. All expenses here are raised locally, and it's all spent locally by your executive committee. And every 3 or 4 weeks, we have CPAs come in and check everything. And I like that because my money's going in here, too, along with yours. I'm going to show you how easy it is tonight and next week. All right, hey, if you don't ever plan on being a counselor, if you don't ever plan on hearing Billy preach, please come back the 4th and 5th week. I've come a long way to have an investment in your life, and I don't want you to miss those two classes. We're going to get out your folder called My Commitment Folder. It looks like this, My Commitment Folder. This is the finest thing that's happened to crusade evangelism during our lifetime as far as counseling is concerned. It makes it so easy, so simple. I said, if you know Christ as your Savior, and if you can read, you plan on being a counselor. And that's true. Now get the picture. On the screen is a picture of your veteran stadium. And Billy will be preaching from right here. And right around the front of him will be a row of supervisors. That's a pastor with a supervisor's badge on. And then we'll have a lot of people being counseled, and another row of supervisors, and more people being counseled, and another row of supervisors, and more people being counseled, about three different rows, and then around the whole outside will come a, we call them a peripheral row of supervisors. Now, all over the stadium, there are just dozens, hundreds of groups of supervisor, one supervisor, nine counselors. They're scattered all over the stadium. And as people go forward, they're paired up, women to women, men to men, same sex and about the same age if possible. I got my tongue twisted one night. I said the same age and about the same sex. Women counsel women, men counsel men. And after 35 years, we figured out a wonderful way to ask for a woman counselor if we need a woman counselor. You raise a little card, a pink card. Isn't that? It took us 35 years to figure that out. If the supervisor wants a man counselor, he raises what color? Blue. You've got it. Now, Billy has talked to these folks, and he's talked to them about 10 minutes. Finally, he says, standing next to you is a counselor. We have some material for you to help you get started in your walk with the Lord. Something like that. Page 29, top of the page, underline, introduce yourself. Underline, get the individual's name. I would suggest you write their name right at the top of this little folder. They're going to take it home with them, but then you won't have to try to remember. Just write their name down there. Then you can read it. And I'm going to say, Joe, would you please read the front page of this little folder and check the decision that you've made tonight? And I stand back and be quiet and pray and let Joe make his own decision. Isn't that a great method of counseling, letting him make his own decision? About 45% check number one. Number one is salvation. 40 to 50%. And if he checks number one, what page do you go to? Everybody. Turn it over. Page six is the back of your folder. And I'm going to say, Joe, the message that you just heard preached by Billy Graham stressed that God loves you, and he wants you to experience his peace and his life. Question, how did I know how to say that? I read it right here. That's what you'll do. Now, doesn't this look familiar? Steps to peace with God all on one page, right? If I had a stopwatch and a loud whistle, I paired you off in twos, and I've done this a number of places. You start at the top. In 2 minutes and 45 seconds, if I blew the whistle, you'd just be ending up down here. About 85 or 90% of you would. But take all the time you need. You might let him read the scripture. And he'll read John 3:16. He said, shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. It's all right to laugh here. Don't laugh then. Prayerfully, humbly point out to him the 3 is the chapter, 16 is a verse. He may not know that. But work through it with him. Down at the bottom, Joe, Billy Graham's invitation was to repent. That means turn from your sins, Joe. And by faith, receive Christ into your heart, in your life, and follow him in obedience as your Lord and Savior. Circle that word, Lord. You're receiving him as not only Savior, but the Lord of your life. Read this prayer here. Joe will read it. Is that the prayer you prayed with Billy Graham? That's it, Jack. I'm going to say, did you mean it? If he did, you turn to what page? Okay, everybody turn to page 2. A little Bible study to get Joe started. Now, keep in mind two things here. We're going to cover 5 decisions during the next 15 minutes. At the crusade, you'll only have one, right? We're going to cover 5. And keep in mind that you're not starting from scratch. Billy Graham's preached the facts of the gospel. He's given the invitation. He's led them in a prayer commitment. 3/4 of your work's all done. Now, Joe, when you prayed with Billy Graham and you committed your life to Christ, let's see what happened. How did I know how to say that? I read it right here. And we've got the questions we want you to ask in red. Isn't that handy? What did Jesus say he would do if you ask him in? What should he tell me? I will come in. Look up this way. Counselors, get your pen or pencil out. The counselor fills this in, not Joe, right? Joe's going to take it home. We want it filled in right. Work through it with him down at the bottom. Joe, how do you know you're saved? Read this right here, and he'll read out loud. Joe will say, I know because God said it in his word, the Bible. I believe it in my heart, Jack. That settles it in my mind. Joe, how do you know you're a child of God? Have him read it again. How do you know you have eternal life? Same thing. Have him read it again. Feel free to use any scriptures you've been using in your personal work. If you'd like to work your testimony in, keep it about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. You could either do that on Steps to Peace on page 6 or here. Be fine. Now, you're only going to be asked to share two things at the crusade. My commitment folder is you share first, and you share living in Christ. We're going to show you how to share that next week. About 15 minutes, you can share both of these. All right. Go back to page 29. If he checks number 2, look at the board if you can see the screen. If you cannot, on number 2, please jot down 2A. On 2A, jot down the word assurance. Please jot down the word assurance on 2A. Page 29, about 5 inches from the bottom. If the inquirer checks statements 2, A, B, C, or 4, if he checks anything except number 1, you ask him this first question, 4A, bottom of page 29, please circle the word when. If he checks number 2A, I'm going to say, when did you find Christ as Savior? Tell me about it. If he gives you a good testimony, then you go to page what? Page 3. Don't go to it now. We will later. Okay, if he checks number 2B, turn to page 30 in your course book just a moment. Page 30 in your course book. If he checks number 2B, look at the front of your folder. I have failed but want to rededicate my life. You can write rededication. Of course, you've already got it there, rededication. 2B is about 25%. 2A is about 25%. Those three, salvation, assurance, and rededication, are 95% of all decisions. All the rest together is only 5%. If Billy were here 20 nights, if you counseled every night, you'd only, on the average, find one of any other kind of decision except salvation, assurance, and rededication. If he checks 2B, I have failed, but I want to rededicate my life. I've been saved, but Jack, I've gotten off the path. And you say, when did you find Christ as Savior? Anything except number 1. When did you find Christ as Savior? Tell me about it. If he gives me a good testimony, I go to page what, everybody? Page 4. All right. Now, on page 30 on your course book, about 3 inches down, if the inquirer checks 2C and is certain that Jesus is their personal Savior, share the follow-up literature. 2C, I want to demonstrate my faith. That's about 1%, about 1 out of 100. Here's a guy that comes forward and said, Jack, I just came forward tonight to let everyone publicly know I love Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. Well, I'm going to say, sir, when did you find Christ as Savior? Same question. When did you find Christ as Savior? Tell me about it. If he gives me a good testimony, I'm going to share living in Christ with him and send him on his way rejoicing. You probably won't have one of those. All right, page 30. If the inquirer checks statement three, I want to know more about what it means to be a Christian. You take him to page 5 and then page 6. It might be wise to take him directly to page 6, but we're going to follow these instructions. Page 5 is great. Page 5, turn to page 5. I would cover the top two-thirds with him. The top two-thirds of the page. I'd cover 1, I'd cover 2, then I'd go to page 6 and go through steps to peace with God, letting him pray the prayer at the bottom. Now, there's going to be a pastor, a supervisor type, within 6 feet of where you are. And these pastors have been waiting a year. They can hardly wait to help you. They're chomping at the bit. If you have any problem at all, just raise your hand, and they'll come and help you. All right, page 30. Number 7, if the inquirer checks statement 4. Statement 4 on the top of your, on the front of your folder. I have received Christ as Savior. I want to talk about a special need that I have. For instance, a man might say, Jack, I've got a 14-year-old boy on drugs. Can you help me? I'm desperate. First thing I'm going to say is, when? When did you find Christ as Savior? Tell me about it. I don't want Daddy going home lost talking about his son. Amen? If he gives me a good testimony, I'm going to raise my hand, which means I need help. And supervisors are going to take that man down where Billy's been preaching, down to the podium, And we're going to have experts that spend 40, 50, 60 hours a week helping 14-year-old boys on drugs down there. Now, if you can help them with their problem, go ahead and help them. If you cannot, you won't get stuck. Raise your hand. We're going to have people down there, experts on family, expert on divorce, expert on alcoholism, expert on drugs, that make a living 40, 50, 60 hours a week doing that, and they can help you a lot better than I can. But you will not get stuck. Just raise your hand and send them down there. Now go back to page 29 in your course book. Suppose he checks anything else except number 1, 2A, 2B, 2C, 3 or 4, and you say, when did you find Christ as Savior? Tell me about it. And he does not give you a good testimony. Jack, I was born into a Christian family. And you see, I've been a Christian all my life. That would not happy up my day at all. Second question, 4B. Please circle the word if. These three words are all you have to remember. When, if, and why. I'd say, Joe, if you were to die tonight, are you certain you'd go to heaven? If his answer does not satisfy you, ask him 4C, bottom of page 29. Please circle the word why. Joe, when you get to heaven, and the Lord says, Joe, why should I let you into my heaven? What are you going to tell him? If his answer does not satisfy you, you take him to page 6, which is steps to peace with God. Start at the top, go through it with him, and let him pray the prayer. If you have any problem, raise your hand and have a pastor help. Now, that's not difficult. If 95% of the people who are counseling for the last 40-some-odd years have never counseled anywhere before, and they do a good job with it, because the Holy... Who does the work in this thing? You are the Holy Spirit. Amen. But the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. And that's what we're going to have there. We're going to have a servant and the Word of God, and you're going to give them the Word of God. And I tell you, they want help or they would not have come forward. Amen? I mean, they'll soak up everything you're an out-of-state expert. You're a theological giant as far as they're concerned. And you've got help for them. And they've come for help, and they will be very grateful to you. Now, in another city, let me give you a little thing before I go on that. One more thing. Down at the bottom of page 29, please jot this down. You know, as I told my wife here 4 or 5 years ago, I said, honey, as I'm growing older, I fear my memory is slipping a little. And she started laughing and laughed and just kept laughing. I said, what's so funny? She said, Jack, your memory wasn't any good 25 years ago. Now, just in case your memory is slipping a little, jot this down at the bottom of page 29. Number 1, do your homework before you fill out the application. Please, jot down, do your homework before you fill out the application. Number 2, answer questions 14, 15, and 16 on your application. Answer questions 14, 15, and 16 in your own words. Please answer these 14, 15, and 16 in your own words. We don't want to know what you copied out of a book. We want to know what you believe in your heart. Now, I want to ask you a favor. We've got a pretty good-sized class here. That's 739 slips turned in the first week. 739 slips turned in the second week. First time in 20 years that's ever happened. Same number. We're going to take these applications next week, and I'd like to get about half of them taken 30 minutes before the class starts. Your work schedule may not permit you to come that early. If it does, you'd really help us out a lot. And then you go home early, and then we'll get the rest of them after the class in about 30 minutes. How many here can come about 30 minutes early and turn your application early? Raise your hand. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, please. I'm so grateful. Now, in another city, a young man came back the next week and told the instructor, said, you know, on this little folder, my commitment folder, I said, yes. He said, I rehearsed all those decisions twice during the week with Roscoe. He said, is Roscoe your brother? He said, no, Roscoe's my dog. Now, we've got a better deal than that. While I talk to these pastors for the next few minutes, we're going to pair you off, or you're going to pair yourself off in twos. One of you be a counselor, one be an inquirer. And you're going to work through page 3. Then you're going to switch teams. The counselor become the inquirer and vice versa, and go through page 4. Now, you'll have a rehearsal. Get this in mind. I'll tell you next week or week after when it's going to be and where. It'll probably be in the stadium. You'll have a rehearsal before the crusade. And spend about an hour showing you how to share these little two little deals. Now, hey, what have we got, 3 months to the crusade? All the instructions on this is on page 29 and the top half of page 30. You've got 3 months to look over those instructions. And the bottom page of bottom part of page 30 is living in Christ. We'll go over that next week. All hearts of mine and hearts of minds at rest and hearts of peace. I thank God for your coming. I promise you that God will reward you for your investment. And like I said, if you don't ever plan on turning in an application or hearing Billy preach, please come back the next couple of weeks. I have something I know will help your life through God's Word and through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, give us a holy boldness. Let us know that you can use us in this area of counseling. God forbid that there would be dozens or hundreds of people leave there without getting their names or address so we could turn them over to local churches so they could grow in Christ in a warm fellowship like this church and other churches represented here. Lord, we pray for a safe trip home tonight, a good night's rest. We'll meet you tomorrow morning in the Word and in prayer. Bless every home represented here, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. I'll find out and let you know next week how much offering for this church or for this group next week. God bless you. Don't leave now. Just share with somebody before you go.